Let's see. Bill, please tell me about the cross that was hung below the choir loft in the back of the church.
That cross originated from a visit by three missionaries from Munkacsava. That was the, they had a monastery on the hill on Chotanahora. And it was made of wood from the forest surrounding the monastery. And it had a lot of meaning to the people of this congregation. So they came over to preach during Lent, and they spent an entire week preaching the gospel. And the church was overflowing with people every day. Now don't forget, these people were working people. Physically, they worked during the day, but they found the energy to come here at night and listen to their sermons and being inspired, and especially during Lent, it was very meaningful to them. And they left this cross with us. Of course, it came by steamer. That's the way they traveled in them days. And it was hung in several locations of the church. I remember it being hung mostly on the men's side, that'll be to the right of the iconostasis on the wall. It's not big and it doesn't really take up a lot of space, but it was there for many, many years. And then it was, the church was renovated, redecorated, the iconography and so forth was cleaned up, and the cross was moved to the sacristy. I thought that it was there just temporarily while this stuff was going on, but it stayed there for a long time and then suddenly disappeared. And certain members of the board wondered why, and it turned out that we had a monastery up in New York State, and Bishop Nicholas was the, head of the monastery. Well, anyway, it seemed as though he took that cross and he said that he wanted to copy it. And of course, we wanted to make sure that that cross came back, which it eventually did. And then it was hung on the wall that's right by the choir loft. And when you're walking out of church, you'll notice it up until recently. Now, I really don't know where that cross is, and I hope that we find a visible location for it, because it has so much meaning to the people as far as it coming over at that time and where the wood came from surrounding that monastery that everyone in that region knew about. I fortunately have never been there to see that, but they say that it's spectacular and it's very, very old. I don't know when it was built. And that that is the story of that cross, and I hope to see it hung shortly. So,
well, thank you for that insight. Bill, if you would, give us a brief history of the origin of St. John's Church here in Perth Amboy.
Well, you know, the influx of our founders, it goes back to the late 19th century, primarily between the years of 1890 and 1915, during what they call the melting pot era. Many people came here to work temporarily, others came here to stay. And they came through Ellis Island, regardless of whether they came here to work temporarily or to stay, they had to go through these extreme physical and whatever testing was required. And sometimes if their health was not good or if they had a disease, they would be sent back. And of course, they left their Eastern European country, an area that was called Carpathia Russia, Now it's part of the Western Ukraine and Slovakia, which there's the border that runs through there. And of course, settling in Perth Amboy, they came here with very small belongings, generally in a pillowcase, with the prayer book being the heaviest item. And these determined people, inspired by their faith and Saint Cyril and Methodius, who were their patron saints, who brought the Orthodox Christian faith to their ancestry in the 9th century from Constantinople. A handful of people gathered and held their first service in the basement of the old St. Stephen's Church on State Street by a priest by the name of Father Alexander Kaminsky. And the formal organization charter was drawn in 1897. So that's, we go back to 1897 as our original birth date. The parish arranged to rent the old Danish church at the corner of Broad and State Street. They celebrated their first Pascha, Resurrection Sunday there. The congregation grew at a tremendous rate and was outgrowing the Danish church facility. Now, there were people from an area in Carpathia, Russia, and I don't know exactly, I think it's in, could be even Hungary now. And there was a church there called Maria Poch, and the structure impressed them to the point that they wanted to copy this architecturally, which apparently they did. And they started this congregation. And in 1903 to 1904, Father Alexander Novak headed the building of the new church. The church, at a cost of about that time, $21,000. And of course, it has graced the skyline of Perth Amboy ever since. An iconostas was added in 1906 at a cost of $1,700. Can you imagine all of that hand wood carved and gold gilded? Costing $1,700, it's just amazing. It's hard to believe. The interior was richly decorated in an ornate manner by the iconographer named, I don't know, I think it was Basil Bogdan, B-O-G-D-A-N. His fine works was revered by many churches. The church continued to grow rapidly to 700 plus families actively engaged with a fine choir, organizations, and much activity. Then twin towers were added to the church in 1913, and three bells were baptized and installed in 1905. In 1929, on a critical event, 1929 brought us into another serious problem. Being that the church was actually Greek Catholic, which was under the Pope, and it was the Eastern, known as the Eastern Church, things were just going along okay. We were using our ritual and and also the holy traditions were carried on. Rome didn't interfere with that. However, in 1929, a critical event took place. A Bishop Takacs, T-A-K-A-C-H, returned from Rome to the congregation with a decree for the Latinization of the people, which then were in union with the Vatican. Under canon law of the Roman Catholic Church, declared he was to take over all properties which the people had worked very hard for and tried to enforce celibacy on the priests and change traditions to the Western Rite. This led to a court suit by our congregation in Chancery Court of New Jersey. And after several years of deliberation, the courts declared in favor of the church, canceling the union with Rome and declaring independence. So the church was independent for several years until in 1938, the church consecrated Bishop Orestes Chernak, who was a priest, and he was excommunicated by the Pope as our new hierarch under the Ecumenical Patriarch of Constantinople, the Orthodox Patriarch, and returning our people to their original Orthodoxy faith, which was taken from them centuries ago. The church has maintained and progressed over the years, maintaining the teaching of the scriptures, the holy traditions, and the rich rituals of our faith. The services are now conducted in English, which is translated from our mother tongue, that was Old Slavonic, and using the Julian calendar. I believe Father Michael is our 21st pastor that has served our church for the past 120 years.
Thank you for that insight, Bill.